Amen. That's still a great song. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to a couple of passages of scriptures tonight, if you would. Please, Mark chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and Mark chapter 3, parallel passages of scripture as we continue our study through the Gospels. As we look in the scriptures tonight, we're going to learn that Jesus Christ had the power to heal anything. Amen. And he has the power to forgive all manner of sin. Amen. But those who would blaspheme the Holy Ghost could never have forgiveness of sin. And we're going to learn about all of that tonight by God's grace. If you have found your places there, if you would, please stand with me. And we'll just read a couple of verses to get started tonight. Mark chapter 3 is where we'll begin, verses 20 and 21. The Word of God says in Mark 3 and verse 20, "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in Christ and in his ministry. Help us to realize tonight that you've given that power to your church, that we can go and win others to you, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to believe you, to trust in you, and to walk by faith day and night, Lord, to live for you. Lord, please bless your church, forgive our sin, and help us, and bless your word now, for I'm nothing without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The multitude coming together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ and those who followed him were astonishingly devoted to the people. In other words, they were devoted to serving the people. And Jesus made himself available to the point that sometimes the people would press in on the Lord. He couldn't even take a break to eat some lunch. He couldn't do anything. But he was devoted to ministering to the people. He was devoted to preaching the gospel, like we learned last week about preaching the gospel and the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And he allowed these people to come and they pressed in on him. And you'll notice that it says, when his friends heard of it. Now, these friends, I believe it's not referring to his disciples that were with him or the apostles that were with him, but some of his friends and family and acquaintances that he knew and that knew him probably when he was growing up in Nazareth. Here's the carpenter's son. Here is this man that for 30 years lived around Nazareth and worked as a carpenter and did all these things like a normal person. Then all of the sudden, he goes out and gets baptized by this John the Baptist, and then he starts going out there preaching. And we keep hearing of all these astonishing things that he's doing, and they did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They just knew him from his past, and they thought he'd gone crazy. Well, and listen, maybe that's a little bit understandable. If you had grown up with Jesus, certainly you would have stood out because he never did anything wrong. But to the people from Nazareth, to the people in his family and his friends and acquaintances, he was just Jesus of Nazareth, just the carpenter's son. And they didn't see anything certainly miraculous about him. They didn't see anything divine about him. And so you can imagine growing up with somebody that was a pretty good guy and he seemed to be a good man and did all those things, and then all of a sudden he's out there claiming to be the Messiah. You might think something funny too. And that's what they thought about Jesus. They thought he was beside himself, and they pulled him aside. And it's interesting when you look at it. In 2 Corinthians 5:13, it says, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." And I want to tell you something. That when it's not just Jesus and the change that they saw in him when he began his ministry and started to hear all these things, anybody who is completely devoted to God will seem like a crazy person to the rest of the world. Amen. Even to some of your family and friends. I mean, when you take somebody who used to be out in the world and all of a sudden they're in church every time the doors are open and they're reading their Bible and they're praying and they're sharing the gospel and they don't drink anymore and they don't cuss anymore and they don't watch dirty movies and they don't watch all the filth that's on TV and they'll speak out against the sins of our day, people will look at that person like they've lost their mind. Listen, it's okay to be a Christian, but I mean, do you have to be about Jesus all the time? And if you're serious about serving God, there are going to be some people, some probably well-meaning people that think you just need to tone it down a little bit. I want to tell you, friends, that when you're really devoted to God, people will be astonished by that. That's what it means when they said he is beside himself. They thought it was astonishing. It was a wonder. It was an amazing thing the way that he was acting. And listen, when we get completely devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll probably astonish some people. It might be astonishing to us right here in the church. Amen. I want you to think about it for just a second. Have you known people in your life that were absolutely, completely committed to the cause of Christ? Amen. That for them it was real and it wasn't a part-time gig on Sunday morning, but it was an all-time thing? I mean, somebody who fervently, earnestly prayed every day, somebody who was devoted to studying the Word of God, somebody who was devoted to living for Christ. I'm going to tell you the truth. I've only known a handful of people like that in my life. But I want to be one of those people. Don't you? Amen. I want to be somebody who's so devoted to Christ that you people take notice. Astonishingly devoted to serving the people, to ministering. Now, let's study on a little bit more. We've got a lot of ground to cover, so let's move on. You've got Mark chapter 3 there, but let's flip over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We'll look at this account in both of these Gospels tonight. Matthew 12, find verse 22. Matthew 12, 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind, and dumb. And that doesn't mean that he was stupid. It means he couldn't see, blind, and he couldn't speak. That's the biblical word for mute, is dumb. He could not talk. So this demon had possessed this man. The demon spirit had come inside of him and caused him to not be able to see. The demon spirit had come inside of him and caused him to not be able to speak. And by the way, demon possession had all kinds of effects on people. Sometimes they couldn't see, they couldn't hear, they couldn't speak. Sometimes they frothed at the mouth and threw themselves in the fire. I mean, we read about all the things that a demon-possessed person, but this one could not see and he could not speak. And the Bible simply says in verse 22, and he, Jesus, healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Now before we dig into it, let's go back to Mark chapter 3 and verse 22 and read his account. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in a parable, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So we see the amazing deliverance of the possessed man. And I love it. The Bible simply says there was a man that was brought to Jesus. He was possessed with a devil. He was blind and dumb. And the Bible simply says he healed him. Jesus can take the demon and cast him out. Jesus can take the blind and cause him to see, the dumb and cause him to speak. Jesus had great power over the devils. And when the people saw it, they were amazed by it. Look back at Matthew 12 and verse 23. And he says, and all the people were amazed. Well, wouldn't you be? I just want to tell you, let me ask you real quick. Any of you guys ever watched any of those healing sessions on TV? Anybody? Just a couple of you? Don't be shy. Admit it. You're embarrassed, aren't you? Probably should be. They take a guy, and supposedly the fella can't hear, and he does this thing and lays his hands on him and does all this crazy dancing around and everything, and he gets in front of him, and he gets in his face, and he says a word. He says, now, what did I say? And the word was baby. Now listen, if you can't even read lips, you could probably understand.
Amen.
I saw one not too long ago, and they took this poor old man who had just had back and neck surgery, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's got a neck brace on, and he gets him, and they stand him up in front of the guy, and he lays his hands on him, does his little show, and then he says, now move your neck, move your neck. And the guy can't move his neck, it's pinned. So this idiot grabs him and starts moving his head around. And I'm just guessing he probably re-broke his neck. I'm just telling you that it wasn't like that when Jesus healed somebody. There was no show, and there was no, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they're in the wheelchair and they slowly get up and start hobbling around, and they get a little bit better and a little bit better as they go across the stage. Listen, when Jesus healed somebody, it was instantaneous. Amen. Because it was real.
Right. Amen.
Because it was real. And it was amazing.
Amen.
The people, when they saw it, they were amazed. And you know what? The people's response was, this man has great power so that blind people can see and dumb people can speak. Is not this the son of David? You know what that is? They said, is not this the Messiah? Isn't this the chosen one, the one who was promised by God to come? They saw his power and they said, this is Messiah. He's come. Isn't this him? But then the Pharisees hear about it. And the Pharisees come down and they say, listen, this is not the son of David. By Beelzebub does he cast out devils. What's Beelzebub? It goes back to the Old Testament worship of Baal. Baal, and it literally means the Lord of the flies. And it just became, as a term, another name for the devil, for Satan. And you see that because it's what Jesus' response is. If I by Satan cast out devils, then how can this house stand? And so that was their accusation. But you need to notice that it's an awful denial of his power. They said, yeah, he's got power, because they can't deny it. They can't come in and say, no, he didn't really heal the fella, because everybody knew that he really healed him. So they can't say Jesus doesn't have power. But what they can do is say, that's not God's power. This isn't of heaven, this is of hell. That's not the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that's the power of the devil. And that was the accusation. See, they were going to keep going until they found something. And so they couldn't say he didn't heal the man. They couldn't say Jesus doesn't have power because everybody knew he had power. So they had to say that his power wasn't of God. And it's important that you get this, because this is where it all goes down to this unforgivable sin. It starts with this awful denial of his power and making the accusation that his power doesn't come from God. Now, when they make this accusation, Jesus gives them an answer. In Mark, he says that he calls them unto him. So the Pharisees are out there stirring up the people, And Jesus calls them over. Now notice that he knew what they thought. Now I don't know, I'll never understand this, because so many times these Pharisees and scribes, they're thinking something and Jesus answers their thoughts. But I don't know about you, but I think that that would get my attention. I'm just saying, if I'm thinking about a purple elephant and you walk up and say, hey, what about those purple elephants? That's going to kind of freak me out a little bit. And it didn't just happen once. It happened all the time. So they're thinking. This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, he comes. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he calls them over, and he says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Jesus points out the absurdity of their argument. Your argument's stupid. What sense would it make for the devil to send demons to possess people and then send me to cast the demons out? What good's that going to do? What would be the purpose? If the devil's fighting against himself, he can't stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So your argument is absurd. It's ridiculous. And then he turns the tables on them and puts them back in a corner, and I love it. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 7:15, he made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. By the way, anytime you stand against Jesus, you go against his word, that's what you're doing for yourself. Amen. Just digging yourself a ditch to fall into. And that's what they did, is they stood against Jesus. And so, he says in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 27, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Well, if it's only the power of the devil to cast out devils, then tell me. How are your children? How are your followers? How are those that are following you? How do they do it? You see, they were against Jesus. And he's saying, if this power to cast out devils comes from the devil, then how do your followers do it? How do these people that you're for, how do they do it? And so he sets them up in a situation where they have to say, and they've already made the accusation, either his power, they're not denying his power, but they're saying his power came from hell, or his power came from heaven. And if you're going to say that my power comes from hell, then where does anybody else's power to cast out devils come from? And then he proves his power over Satan. In verse 29, he said, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He says, listen, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. If I have power over the devil, then you need to understand that I'm coming from God and the kingdom of God is here. And how can you know that I have the power over Satan? Because listen, if you're going to go rob somebody's house, you don't go into a strong man's house and just walk into his house and say, I'm going to take this, I'm going to take that, I'm going to take that. No, you better tie the guy up first, right? If you're going to steal a big man's TV, you better tie the man up. And he's saying, listen, if somebody wants to go in and overpower somebody and take something from them, you're going to have power over them. You're going to have to be stronger than they are. And this man was demon-possessed. The demons had possession of him, and Jesus took that possession away from them and cast them out and set the man free. Well, how could he do that? Because he's stronger than the demons. Amen. Because he's stronger than the devil. Right. The only way he could do it is if he has more power. And he does, because he's God. And so he says, listen, I have power. Your argument is absurd. You're going to have to choose. You've set yourself up here where you're either going to have to recognize that my power is of God and the kingdom of God is at hand, or you're going to have to continue with this idea that I'm of the devil. But if I'm of the devil, then who are the other people? Where do they get their power to cast out devils? And the only way that you can have power over the devil is if you're stronger than the devil. And so systematically tears down their arguments. And in verse 30, he calls them to a choice. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You see, there's really only one choice for every person in the world, and it's whether you're with Jesus or not. And there's so many people that think that they can, well, I'm religious and I'm spiritual and I'm this and that and the other. If you're not with Jesus, then you're against him. And by the way, if you're not working with Jesus to gather others unto him, then you're scattering abroad. And friends, that's convicting. It ought to be convicting to all of us. If we're not working to gather people to Christ, then we are working to push people away from Christ. Do you get that? I've told you before, I think one of the most detrimental things to the cause of Christ is an unfaithful Christian. Listen, somebody in this church that's not faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ is far more detrimental to the kingdom of God than any atheist out there. Do you see that? And so he gives them a warning. He gives them a warning. He warns them of unforgivable blasphemy. And let's look at it. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And in Mark chapter 3 and verse 28, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. And you need to get this. What the Lord's saying is, these men have, you have come to me and you've said that the power that I have in me is of the devil. You've accused me of having an unclean spirit in me. You have accused the Holy Spirit of God of not being from God, but being from the devil. And that's going to put you in a position where you cannot be forgiven. So let's break it down very quickly. I want you to notice, first of all, that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. Thank God we have a God that is in the forgiveness business. Listen to a few verses. 1 Timothy 1:13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the Apostle Paul was a blasphemer, a persecutor. He was consenting unto the murder of Stephen. And yet God forgave him of all of that sin and blasphemy. Hey, how many of you are glad that God forgives? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Colossians chapter 3 verses 8 and 9, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And by the way, can a saved person commit the sin of blasphemy? Yeah, they can. That's why he admonishes those in the church to put off blasphemy. That's who you used to be. Don't do that anymore. Don't lie anymore. Don't commit a fornication anymore. Put that stuff off. And there's a warning against even Christians. Even Christians speaking evil against the name of God. 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made a shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. It appears to me that these men had sinned against the Lord and they were put out of the church. They had been disciplined by the church, delivered unto Satan so that they could learn to not blaspheme. They could be right with God. And so blasphemy is certainly a sin that could be forgiven. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. By the way, since God's grace is so wonderful and He's so forgiving, should we continue in sin? Somebody said, God forbid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I meet these Christians so-called today, and they do church and worship and sing the songs and do all of it on Sunday, and then they live all week in sin, and they come back on Sunday to be forgiven again, and they relish in the grace of God, as we should. But listen, you ought not presume upon the grace of God. Listen, if our lifestyle is to live in sin and then say a quick prayer on Sunday and be all right so we can reset and do it all again later, that's not the way God intended it. Amen. Listen, we shouldn't continue in sin. The grace may abound. We should continue in holiness. Amen. So the power of the Holy Spirit could be manifest in our lives. So God will forgive all manner of sin and blasphemy. Now look, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man. Hey, get this. Jesus was quick to forgive people who spoke against Him. Listen, Nathanael said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? They said, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. They talked about Jesus, this son of the carpenter, and they mocked Him and they doubted Him. And Jesus said, that can be forgiven. And I think it's this. People could look at the humanity of Jesus Christ. They could look at the fact that He was human, and they could be maybe a little confused. And Jesus could forgive that because they could continue to learn and come to a place of believing. But here's the difference. People who saw the power of God working through Him, when they were witness to the work of the Holy Spirit through Him, and they still rejected Him, that's when they were in danger of eternal damnation. Do you see that? Specifically what we're talking about. Whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So what is this unforgivable sin? It's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, speaking against the Holy Ghost, because they said, He hath an unclean spirit. You might see the humanity of Christ in doubt, but they had seen the full power of the Holy Spirit, and they had attributed that power unto Satan. They saw the miracles of Jesus and said, this is of hell, not of heaven. And they could never find forgiveness because they could never believe. Do you see it? It's like this. The Pharisees saw the miracles of Jesus. They said, that's of the devil. He cast out devils by the devil. And Jesus said, listen, you can blaspheme me, but you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, if you don't believe that I came from God, you cannot be forgiven. Do you get it? You see, this forgiveness of sins can only come when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe Jesus is who He said He was, you can't have the forgiveness that comes with that. So anybody that would deny the deity of Christ, they can't be forgiven of their sins. If you would deny that Jesus is God in the flesh, you can't be forgiven of your sins. And that's really was what that was the heart of it. And we look in the book of Hebrews and it tells us the same thing. Listen, if you've seen God and you've seen Christ and you've seen Him crucified and you've seen Him risen again and you've seen all this in the Scriptures and you understand all these things and you come all the way up to the point where you believe these things in your head about Jesus, but you reject him with your heart, you won't believe because you really don't believe he is who he said he was. Most religions in the world will say good things about Jesus. He was a good man. He was a prophet. Talked to a Muslim man here in town several months ago, and he said, oh yes, Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet of God. I said, no, you don't understand. Jesus didn't say he was a prophet of God. He said he is God. And a lot of people want to say, well, I believe, even some people say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but they don't believe Jesus is God. And anything we believe about Christ that falls short of what he tells us about himself in this word will keep us from being saved. That's really what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is all about. It's about rejecting what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us about Christ. It's rejecting that. And if you don't believe that he is of God and that his power was of the Spirit of God, then you cannot be saved. Boy, I've heard all kinds of ideas about what can't be forgiven. I've seen family members weep because somebody committed suicide. They've been told their whole life that if you commit suicide, you go straight to hell. I've heard people say that if you've killed somebody, if you've committed murder, you cannot be saved. I've heard people say that if you're homosexual, you cannot be saved. I've heard all kinds of stuff. But the Word of God says, Jesus Christ said, all manner of sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. The murderer can be saved. The homosexual can be saved. The suicidal person, the person who takes their own life, could have been saved before they did that. But someone who denies the deity of Jesus Christ cannot be saved. If you say that Jesus Christ is not of the Holy Spirit of God, if you say that the power that Jesus had was from the devil, you can't be saved. And I don't think it's just saying, well, he was of the devil. No, I think it's anything short of exactly who he is. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ of Scripture, not of our own making. And you need to be careful as you go out into the community and you witness to other people. Everybody that says the name of Jesus and worships the name of Jesus and does good works in the name of Jesus, not all of them are really saved. Amen. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, in that day shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. We have to believe in him according to his word. And what an incredible thing. It's so sad when you look at what Jesus did that day, that the Pharisees had to come in and mess it up, because here was a man who had no hope. He couldn't get rid of that devil on his own. He couldn't make himself see on his own. There was no doctor that could cure his blindness. There was no physician that could help him speak, but there was one who could heal him. There was one who could save him, and it was Jesus, and he did that day. And everybody who saw it rejoiced and was amazed. And they would have believed until somebody came in and gave them a different message. And friends, I'm telling you, we need to be faithful and diligent to speak the truth, to help others come to Christ, and to stand against the false doctrine that's in our day. This evening, we're going to stand together, get ready for an invitation. Jesus has the power to heal. He has the power to save. And whatever struggles you may be going through in your life, Jesus is the answer. He has power. If Satan's the strong man, Jesus is greater. Jesus can bind him up. Jesus can put him out of the way if we'll just believe and come to him. Whatever burden there is on your heart tonight, would you come while we sing?